Russia-Ukraine headlines are bringing a note of calm to some financial markets at the moment. I'm David Brancaccio in New York with the headline, Russia promises to scale down operations in parts of Ukraine. Ukraine proposes neutrality. Markets are reacting, perhaps overreacting, given the tentative nature of these talks. Crude oil down sharply on these headlines, and the benchmark interest rate, the 10-year, down sharply at 2.41%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average in early trading is up 1%, 352 points. The S&P up 0.7%. The NASDAQ is up 1.1%. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial in New York.
The possibility that maybe an agreement could be reached that ceases hostilities and therefore, well, you know, ends the need to keep scaling up the sanctions on Russia and therefore frees Russian energy to come back into the European market. And we've seen a really substantial move in oil prices this morning. Oil is trading under $100 a barrel. And I think that's the reason you've seen this big move in the bond market.
Again, Russia said today it would scale down operations in two areas of Ukraine, including the capital, Kyiv, and Ukraine is proposing it won't join alliances or host bases of foreign troops. The House Oversight Committee is asking Credit Suisse to turn over information on how it's obeying sanctions against Russian oligarchs. There are published reports the Swiss bank allegedly asked clients to destroy documents linked to client yachts and private jets. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The committee sent a letter to Credit Suisse asking for all communications the bank had with investors related to the storage, safe handling, or destruction of confidential information related to loans backed by yachts and private jets. The committee refers to a report in the Financial Times that says the bank asked investors to destroy the documents right around the time the U.S. and Europe announced sanctions on Russia. Credit Suisse says it is complying with the sanctions, and it was just reminding clients to destroy documents as part of good data hygiene that has nothing to do with the sanctions. Credit Suisse has until April 11th to comply with the committee's request. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to that one big stock that's turned positive. AMZN is the symbol. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
By early March, Amazon's shares were down about 17%. Then the company announced a 20-to-1 stock split, which can make shares accessible to more investors. Amazon also announced a $10 billion stock buyback, which can lift prices. Since then, Amazon has erased its losses for the year and has notched a modest gain. Alphabet announced a stock split in February. It's almost recovered from its lows this year. And yesterday, Tesla said it's eyeing a stock split too. Even before that news, its stock was recovering, now up 3% for the year. A lot of these gains happened this month, and other tech companies have benefited as well. Even battered Netflix stock has lifted off its lowest point, though it's still down considerably for the year. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The list is growing of companies pulling out of Russia, from Exxon to Starbucks to the major global accounting firms. Other companies are staying. Others are pulling out partially. For instance, Nestle is suspending new capital investment in Russia and stopping some products such as candy bars and Nesquik. In a statement, Nestle said, "Our activities in Russia will focus on providing essential foods such as infant food and medical hospital nutrition, not on making a profit. This approach is in line with our purpose and values. It upholds the principle of ensuring the basic right to food," end quote. Now, a business school professor publishes a running list categorizing global firms, withdrawing from Russia or remaining, suspending operations or scaling back. Also, there's a category labeled buying time. Now, this list is welcomed by some companies, but is angering others. I spoke to Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, a professor at the Yale School of Management, who is the person with the list.
As a schoolhouse, of course, we'd come out with a 5-stage coding of basically A, B, C, D, and F. One of them we called the complete withdrawal as a clean break. A second one, a suspension, where companies were temporarily cutting off operations, but truly doing it. A third one, scaling back, where they were significantly cutting back on business operations. A fourth one, where that's the truly cosmetic stuff, which you're giving a D to of sorts, where they're putting off some unspecified, vague, longer-term investments, but still continuing their regular operations. And then the F, where they're digging in and defying any demands for exit.
The nature of the business makes a withdrawal from Russia either complicated, it's always going to be complicated, but could be super complicated. There's also ethical issues that some of these companies point out. Like if you are providing medicines to Russian people, maybe you don't want to get out completely. Nestle, it doesn't want to sell its candy anymore in Russia, but it thinks, for instance, its infant milk formula needs to still be available.
Yeah, I think they really are manufacturing some public relations spin to justify cowardice and greed. That you can take a look at direct competitors of any of these companies digging in, and they made alternative choices. Of course, the most compelling one, which again is false, is the humanitarian argument of these pharmaceutical companies that have such so critical late-stage clinical trials that just can't be relocated. Well, it was very strange they're ever located there, but there's no justification for them to continue. And all but one or two of them recognized that, pulled out and shut down. That was definitely a missed call.
Still, of the companies that seem very earnest in pulling out, have you ever seen anything like this in your life?
This is so much larger. Both the companies that moved first, is of course, big tech has been in deservedly in shadows of public scrutiny quite negatively, whether or not it's social media companies to the heavy metal companies, the device companies. That they jumped ahead of the pack on this was quite noteworthy. And again, oil industry, when do we ever, David, celebrate the oil industry as a first mover on humanitarian social issues? Here they were. And as we mentioned, the professional service firms. But what was shocking to me is every other time we talk, whether it's on voting rights or looking at the use of forced labor, of the suffering of the Uyghurs in Xinjiang province in China, the apparel makers across the board pulled out. And it's usually the consumer goods companies, in fact, that are the most sensitive. They, this time, were kicking and screaming, moving over. So yeah, what was very interesting is what a break this was from all the things we talk about in the past, who the first movers were and who the tardy ones have been.
Jeffrey Sonnenfeld, a professor at the Yale School of Management, he's been keeping this list of companies, how they're responding to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Professor Sonnenfeld, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you very much.
I also spoke with a Harvard business professor, Ranjit Gulati, about the very high costs for companies that get this wrong. It's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you miss it on the air today. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.